A statewide program run by the UW-Madison Center for the Humanities aims to bring world literature into Wisconsin high school classrooms. And this Monday, students will get a chance to meet the Nobel Prize-winning novelists they've been reading this year.
Gabriella Ekman and Heather Dubois-Barnon are organizers of Great World Texts in Wisconsin.
Gabriella, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Heather, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having us.
So first, tell us, just the broad strokes, what is the Great World Texts program?
Great World Texts program is a public humanities initiative of the Center for the Humanities at UW-Madison. And basically what we do is we try to bring a different work of world literature into as many high school classrooms throughout the state as we can in a given year. So every year we pick a book, schools compete to participate in the program, and we give them grants and facilitate their teaching of the text for the entire school year, and then they bring their students to Wisconsin-Madison for a big student conference, usually in the spring, but this year we're having it next week on December 2.
And why is it important? Why do we want to connect our high school students in Wisconsin with these works of world literature?
Well, obviously, students throughout Wisconsin are already reading literature in Wisconsin classrooms, and we have excellent English teachers in all of our school districts that participate. But what we try to do is select texts that are really challenging, that invite interdisciplinary teaching, and that might pose a challenge that teachers are unable to face without additional support. So oftentimes, these are classics that might be long or difficult for teachers to facilitate the teaching of, or might not seem to fit with their curriculum in other ways. And so we provide the resources to get these teachers to teach books they might not otherwise teach.
And Gabriella, let's bring you in here now. So we have a special event coming up on Monday. The students are going to meet the author that they've been reading in the program this year. Tell us about the author.
So Orhan Pamuk is a Turkish novelist. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2006. He's written a number of novels, and he's been translated into more than 60 languages. So he really is, in many ways, a novelist who both travels to a lot of different countries and now also to Wisconsin. So we're really excited to have him.
Now, this is not an opportunity I had in high school, I'll say, to meet a Nobel Prize-winning novelist that I've been reading. How unique is this for something like this to happen?
I think it is extremely unique, and I think it's also a really wonderful opportunity for students to engage with a great writer, to sort of understand that he is, on the one hand, a wonderful novelist whose book they've been talking about for many months, but also a human being, mm-hmm. You know, who has foibles and who, you know, is either charming or perhaps less so, we don't know yet. But all of those things are part of, you know, humanizing literature and really making it real and alive for students.
And do you think that helps them appreciate the literature more, having that face and hearing the voice of the author?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it also, I mean, some of the students who'll be coming are aspiring writers themselves. Mm. And so for them in particular, I think it's a really wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody who, you know, has done so well with his own writing and is willing to engage with them on their level as well.
And tell us about the book. It's Snow.
Yeah. So Snow is a novel about a poet who's been living in exile, a Turkish poet who's been living in exile in Germany for many years. And he returns to Turkey and travels to eastern Turkey on a very snowy evening. And he arrives in a very small town, very isolated town called Kars. And he does so ostensibly to research the suicides to research the sort of epidemic of young girls who've been committing suicide, but actually, as it turns out, to reconnect with an old love. And so on the one hand, it's a love story, it's a political story, it's a story about Eastern and Western Turkey and about Turkey's relationship to its own history and to the rest of the world. And it just stages and interrogates all of those questions in a really fascinating, rich way.
Let's talk about what's been happening in the classrooms with this book now. Heather, first of all, what in the past have students in this program been doing when they get a book for the year and they sit down in class? What happens?
Well, that varies widely depending on what kind of teaching team they have in place at their school. We have all kinds of schools participating in this program, from huge public schools like Madison East, where over 200 students are engaged in reading this novel with four different teachers.
Wow.
To tiny rural schools with only one participating teacher in one English classroom. We also have some private schools and charter schools participating. So there's a lot, there's a big range of how big the interdisciplinary teams are and how focused on, say, literature as opposed to history and what angle the teacher has in mind for teaching the text. We try to facilitate all different kinds of teaching. I should also note that the students themselves range in age and ability, too. So some students might be in their AP English and History classes. Others may be ESL students who are just learning English or who are, you know, in a remedial English course. So we have a big challenge on our end of making sure that our materials are of value to teachers across that range.
And you worked on those materials, Gabriella. How do you make it that flexible for all those possible uses in confronting the same book?
Well, that's a good question. And what I tried to do in writing the instructor's guide was both to offer a lot of creative ways of engaging with the text, as well as, so for instance, writing a book of poems that's very thematic in the text, as well as other kinds of engagements. I mean, the entire guide is organized thematically. And so we talk about issues of history, we talk about issues of world literature and who has access to it, questions of politics and gender, et cetera. And so all of those different kinds of ideas, I think, allow students to have access to them, depending on sort of, I mean, questions of gender are things that everyone can kind of relate to. Issues of clothing, you know, the headscarf debate is a very big one in the novel. And bringing that to students and having them think about their own religion and their own sort of attitude towards religious choice is one way of sort of addressing that.
We're talking about the Great World Text Program with organizers Heather Dubois-Bornan and Gabriella Ekman. It brings students from around Wisconsin together to read a text, a book of world literature, and in this case to meet the Nobel Prize-winning author in Madison next Monday.
We'll pick up this conversation in a few minutes. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time. Coming up, we'll hear about some potentially dangerous toys to avoid this holiday season.
Now we pick up our conversation with Gabriella Ekman and Heather Dubois-Bornan, organizers of the Great World Texts in Wisconsin program. So, Heather, what kind of response have you gotten from the people participating in this program, teachers and students for that matter?
Well, to quote one of our teachers, one of our returning and veteran Great World Text teachers, his name is Alex Branderhorst. He teaches at Washington High School in Milwaukee. He's participated for, I think, 5 or 6 years. He describes what happens at the conference as being transformative for his students. We've had over 6,000 students come through our program over the past 9 years, 1,300 participating throughout the state this year. And what our program does is it allows teachers to customize their teaching around a text, and it allows students to start to see themselves as part of an intellectual, kind of more academic, discursive community in a new and really empowering way.
And that's part of the interesting thing. It isn't just read a book, do a report. It's within the schools, I imagine, there's that kind of collaborative discussion. And then this big thing at the conference. Gabriella, how important is that part, that it's not just reading and reporting on it?
Oh, no, I think that's huge. I mean, the students come here, they get to be in Madison, they get to interact with other students and see how other students from other schools have responded to the text and created projects in response to them. So I think that's a really big deal. They get to also, some of the students who've written essays get to discuss their essays with other people from different high schools and also in groups facilitated by undergraduates here at UW-Madison. So those undergraduates then kind of model what college discussion and college critical thinking looks like.
And that reminds me, I'd read a piece about this program. I think it was a teacher from the Trempealeau area talking about, You know, we're in a smaller town. I want my students to be ready for the college experience, even though they don't live down the street from a big institution like UW-Madison, say. How big a part of that is this?
That's something that we just think is huge and take really seriously. And part of it is demystifying what the college experience is like and having students just be able to come here and say, I could fit in here. I can feel comfortable here. This is fun and exciting. But also having them realize that the college conversation isn't necessarily just a conversation they could someday be a part of. It's a conversation they already are a part of in a meaningful way, that they've already done the thinking and the work that has engaged them at that level. And that's something that we just see over the course of the day of the conference, them start to own and feel proud of. And it's really an exciting thing to see and a rewarding one.
Does the program, like with Snow, the book, does it keep going after the conference? Are they still going to be working on the book after this?
Our program is year-round for the period of engagement for the teachers, but our materials become part of our permanent collection.
Okay.
So any teacher anywhere in the world can go to our website right now, humanities.wisc.edu, and download our teaching guides for Snow or any previous text. This is our 9th book, so all of the teaching guides that we've done in the past are still online. We continue to update those files, and we encourage teachers to make use and continued use of these resources. We give the schools copies of each text for their permanent collection, so we hope that they continue to teach these texts over the years as well.
So a teacher listening out there right now could go to the website and pull this material and do this book?
And we hope they do.
What's that website, in case I forget to ask you later?
Yeah, humanities.wisc.edu.
That's a great resource.
And then just go to the Great World Text tab.
So who are some of the authors and books you've tackled in the, you said, 9 years of the program?
Yeah. Snow is our 9th text. We've done Dante's Inferno.
Wow.
Don Quixote. Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that one.
Stuff teachers may not want to teach without a little bit of extra help. The Brothers Karamazov, which of course is daunting just because of its length. 100 Years of Solitude by Garcia Marquez. Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, Antigone, the Greek classic, and 1001 Nights, the Arabian Nights. And then last year we did The God of Small Things by Arundhati Roy, who was our keynote at last year's conference. So we've already had a glimpse of what it's like when the students get to meet the author. Mm-hmm. And it was just an amazing experience. We can't wait to recreate next week.
So obviously some of the authors you mentioned would not be available to come to the conference. But so what do you do at a conference when the author isn't there? There's still a lot to talk about.
Right. We like to look at who would be somebody who could really engage students at the level where they're thinking about the text. We've historically gone with the translator of the text to kind of open up that conversation about what it means to translate culture and to translate meaning and interpretation. When we did Things Fall Apart, Chinua Achebe, who's since passed on but was alive and ill at the time, couldn't make it to our conference. So we invited a contemporary Nigerian novelist, Chris Abani, who has kind of modeled his own writing career on the works of Chinua Achebe and sees him as kind of a father figure in his own writing. And so that was an interesting conversation for students to have.
Interesting. Gabriella, we've talked some on the show about how people, kids and grown-ups for that matter, can understand others, understand people from different parts of the world through the medium of stories, by hearing stories told. Is that something that excites you about the Great World Texts program, that they have this opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why the Great World Texts program is so wonderful, because it brings all of these different stories that high school students might not otherwise have access to into the classroom and into something that that they're a part of and that they can talk about. I mean, yes, Dante's Inferno is a challenging text, but it is also one that, it's really vivid. It's really scary. I mean, there are lots of points of access for students in a lot of these texts, even though, maybe they wouldn't otherwise read it.
You teach some college classes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you a little envious of this program? Do you wish you could get your college students, sneak them in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I met with our undergraduate volunteers yesterday, and a lot of them were saying how much they would have wanted to have a program like this in their classrooms when they were in high school, because of, the way that it brings just the world and world issues and engagement with other cultures and intellectual ideas into their classrooms.
So, Heather, looking at the future, are you already picking out next year's book, next year's author?
Yes, we have. Next year, we're going to be working with The Confessions by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. So kind of going back to an older version of Great World Texts mm-hmm. and thinking about how that text has influenced writing since its own publication.
And who have you thought about who will be the keynote on that one? Or is that still far enough off?
We've made an invitation. We have somebody in mind, but we're waiting to see if he's accepted. I think people will be excited.
And speaking of excited, Gabriella, meeting Orhan Pamuk, pretty exciting?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think it will be wonderful.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. I appreciate it. Heather, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Gabriella, thanks to you.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck on the event on Monday. I know a lot of preparation has gone up to it.
We forgot to say Varsity Hall in Union South on December 2. So it's open to the public. And Orhan Pamuk will be giving a public lecture that same night at 7:30 p.m. in Varsity Hall of Union South. Our conference is from 8:30 to 3:30 during the day.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Gabriella Ekman and Heather Dubois-Bornan, organizers of the Great World Texts in Wisconsin program. And we'll link to info about the event and that program on the Central Time Facebook page.